So, transportation officials, actually the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials, released a report Monday stating that at least $140 billion are needed to make repairs or upgrades to one of every four bridges in the United States. Now, there's some timing to this report. It's coming out only days before the one-year anniversary of the devastating Minneapolis 35W bridge collapse. This pairing is a sobering reminder of the country's crumbling and outmoded infrastructure, something that will cost billions and billions to repair. Minnesota Public Radio's Cee Stachura has been covering the Minneapolis bridge collapse, and she joins us on the line. Cee, certainly we need to know the status of the 35W bridge, but I'm wondering what people in Minnesota are thinking of this report.
I think they're saying it's a reflection of exactly what we've been talking about for the last year, that infrastructure is underfunded and it's falling apart underneath our feet.
So what is the status of the reconstruction? And, you know, what's interesting in a lot of these reconstructions is that the cost of repairs exceeds the cost of even a replacement bridge. So describe how close we are to actually reopening the bridge fully.
The bridge itself looks completely done at this point, but it's not. It's still being surfaced, and so it will be open approximately mid-September. That's not in time for the Republican National Convention, which is September 1st through the 3rd, but it actually is several months ahead of schedule.
Which is actually quite surprising. This bridge was put up very quickly.
Yeah, that's fairly unusual, although it's not unheard of. What they did was 24 hours, 6 days a week of work. The only time they ever stopped was when the weather was absolutely too cold or there was lightning in the area.
What's the price tag?
We're talking in the $300 million range for this bridge. And, you know, I'm sorry, I can't tell you right off the top of my head what the overall total is, but it's been a combination of state and federal dollars. And that means that some of Minnesota's state dollars have been borrowed from other projects to make this happen within a year.
Well, certainly the cost, just in dollar terms, far exceeds what it must have cost to put that bridge up back in 1967. And I guess what the people of Minnesota have learned here is that there is a certain cost of letting this become a tragedy before you address it. And, you know, obviously the loss of life is right there at the top of the list. But is there a way strategically to address this issue before there's a tragedy? And is the state of Minnesota investigating how to do that?
I think it's a matter of each state deciding how to deal with its problem individually, because bridges are funded through state and federal dollars. And federally, the Highway Trust Fund, which provides pretty much all of the federal dollars for these bridge projects, is nearly bankrupt. Statewide, it's dependent on how many dollars each state puts toward its transportation. In Minnesota, the gas tax, which again funds largely these highway and bridge projects, hadn't been increased since the 80s. And it was increased this past year, but only after the state legislature overrode a veto by the governor. This really is dependent on what is the political will of the state. Are they willing to say, yeah, we're going to raise taxes so that we can fix our bridges and roads?
But there's no, I mean, you would never run anything like this. I mean, you'd have an endowment in place for capital costs and capital expenditures. If you have to raise taxes every time you fix something, it's never going to get done. And last Saturday, what, 1,200 pounds of concrete fell from another bridge in St. Paul?
Yeah, this is a problem that we've been dealing with for decades. Most of the country's bridges were built in the 50s and 60s. And since then, as the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials, that report put out, they said, we've been working off of this investment we made 50 years ago. And today, we're seeing the consequences of not putting money aside for repairs later on.
Let's go back to your point about the Federal Highway Fund. You say it's almost bankrupt?
Yeah, the Highway Trust Fund. Now, this is related to two things that are going on. One, for the first time since the Department of Transportation has been recording how many miles people drive every year, people have driven actually fewer miles this past year. And that means a couple of things. One, they're buying less gas. And secondly, because most people are now driving more fuel-efficient vehicles, again, they're buying less gas. So there's just not that much money in that trust fund. And as prices for diesel and gasoline go up, for concrete, for steel, as these prices rise, the money that is there just doesn't go very far.
So at the very moment that we need to repair this infrastructure, as the time that these bridges are getting, you know, to be 50 years old, all of the incentives are in place to decrease the funding for any kinds of repairs, both nationally and at the state level.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, does it?
Oh, that sounds really awful.
Yeah, and this report that came out on Monday says exactly that. It says if we don't do something quickly, nationally and on state levels, we're going to see a 50% decrease in the amount of pothole covering and bridge rebuilding that can be done nationally. On top of that, we're also looking at just basically an infrastructure that not only is falling apart, but is also just not big enough to handle the amount of traffic that we're actually seeing. So you couldn't even get semis across some of these bridges in the state, in the nation. So
see, how do you measure the political will, not only in Minnesota, obviously, given the terrible tragedy that happened there a year ago, but more generally in the face of these dwindling dollars and the $140 billion need?
I think there is an increased political will in, I'm going to say, the federal level. I'm not sure. I can't speak for all the rest of the states. I think in Minnesota, the legislature has taken on the burden of what do we do about these bridges, in part because it helps them politically. Nationally, the House Transportation Committee, chaired by Jim Oberstar of Minnesota, put out a bridge bill that would both change the way that bridges are rated, so it's actually more, it has a stronger correlation to how safe is this bridge for people crossing it, and it provides $1 billion in emergency funding. But as John said at the top, we need $140 billion to fix all these bridges.
And it's easy to talk at the national level. It's really about where the dollars are actually deployed. Cees Stachura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Cees Stachura is there in Minnesota on the bridge itself, reporting for Minnesota Public Radio. Actually, not literally on the bridge, but she's been covering the bridge collapse, which will be a year ago exactly in just a couple of days.
And they're almost done with that bridge, which is fascinating.
We're always on here at The Takeaway. You can find us online, streaming at FriendFeed on Facebook. You can come around to thetakeaway.org and visit us.
We've been talking about apologies today. The House apologized yesterday to African Americans for the wrongs committed during slavery and the Jim Crow segregation law era. The resolution marks the first time Congress has ever formally apologized for America's past history of slavery and legally enforced discrimination.
Which inspired Cheryl from Clifton to call our Spinbox line about a sort of apology she once received.
I used to run survivor groups for incest and rape survivors, and one day a man took me to lunch and took me for a walk, and he thanked me for my ministry, and then he said in a kind of a tearful voice that he knew that a lot of men had hurt me in my life, and he wanted to ask my forgiveness on behalf of all men. It was a powerful, powerful moment for me, and I feel like I owe a lot of forgiveness to him. So I wanted to let you know apologies work, even if you're not the one who directly sinned.
Oh, the importance of apologies.
Yeah.
That's great. Here's the takeaway for today's hour.
I think it will entirely depend on which way the wind blows.
Gordon Farker talking about the air in Beijing.
And tomorrow we'll be talking about Cuba.
All right, we want to hear from you, of course, at 877-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and we're out of time.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.